plays a big booming when you move your mouth. Doesn't sound like a word.
They can't maintain the linearity. They can't. It can't be done on radio.
Broadcast of the universe under other conditions.
Read my lips. Read my pants. Trousers for the English Canadian. Read my pants.
What are they, sir?
Mike, you're not coming through. No.
Hello?
Hello there.
They've changed the board, actually. They've moved things around, so it's...
I was coming through, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, loud and clear. Loud and clear. The theme music, Bob. Haven't for a while. Have any repercussions from the theme song making it on the CFNY charts?
No, we sued the RCMP. We're going to court soon.
Yeah, so you don't want to talk about it?
No,
right now.
I can't talk about it on the media.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the forthcoming election, which you pushed to the back burner every time I brought it up.
But I
thought, you know, we should know the position of Bob, since people might choose to vote for you on Monday, even though you're not running. They may vote for you anyway, and so I thought we could cover some of the... We could cover some of the topics of concern. Or do you want to talk first, and we could talk about that after?
Well, why don't I talk about last week's election first?
On the municipal level?
No, it was the solar government election.
Oh, that one, yeah.
All right, the American election.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some visual aids here.
Helps our listeners at home.
For you people at home, look at your monitor.
All right, so... We're referring to page 147 of High Weirdness by Mail.
I have it here in front of me.
I have it.
Page one for thought, don't choke. The perfect pitch, Bob Marshall, care of Bob Dean.
Yeah, and then there's the address.
Which we won't give
out. Won't give out the address. So, High Weirdness by Mail. Page 147, there is a chart. This is Bob Marshall's bottom-up analysis chart. Called Identity, the Culture Hero in the West. Not the East, the Culture Hero in the West. Mike, if you check at Global Village, Phonetic Alphabet, Print, Movable Type, Industrial Revolution, and the Electronic Revolution. Then we go into the Global Theater phase. And you have The Hidden Ground is Television. The Popular Figure Art Forms are Elvis and Fellini. Highbrow Art Form, Existentialism. Then we go up to Computer. Is a ground that subsumes the television ground, and then the satellite ground subsumes the computer ground, and then the 22 coming subsumes the satellite ground, right? All right. Now, we know that in 1980, at that point, we'd gone long past the part on the chart where television is art form. Do you see where I have over there the fourth column, technological art form? Under television, you had radio and movies. Under computer, you had the first phase, black and white TV, mm-hmm. then color TV. Well, then under satellite, the art form is computer. So by 1980, the television was the technological art form. It had been for a while through most of the 70s. This reached popular awareness with the election of Ronald Reagan, the perfect cliche television image. All right, now we went through the Ronald Reagan image presidency. That flipped into a new form by 86 when the population was exhausted by that phenomenon, because we were having existed for 200 years every 12 months, that was about 1,000 years by 1986, all right, 1,200 years from 1980. So the television is cliche. What was that? Somebody we know?
No.
Oh, look at that, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
You're running for North York?
I'm absolutely stunned. I was hoping this wouldn't get out, actually, and...
Look at that, Bob Dyer. He's the guy who went with Connie before, while I was going with Carol Dyer. And then we met you many years later. This head keeps popping in. I don't know who's...
It must be George.
This is incredible, right? Okay, back to the lecture. All right?
I'm totally distracted now.
Yeah, it says, Bob Dyer, North York Hydro, low weights and quantity service.
That's me.
Plugging for Bob Dyer, it says, though.
Yeah, well, everyone would recognize Mike Dyer, and I thought Bob Dyer might be a better pseudonym. So.
Okay, I apologize to the listeners. We're trying to have a serious thing, but a subgenius popped in and deflected us with some visual space. You know, just to mention visual space, I was looking through Metropolis, you know, that little freebie that's around.
Little yuppie magazine?
Yeah. Well, Donna Lipchuk writes in there.
I don't know Donna.
Very pink. Very pink, a friend of James Kidney, you know, people like that, down in Queen Street.
Mm-hmm.
She is writing a review of some movie, and she says various factors, and includes one of them, these people are trapped in visual space. Now, you tell me Queen Street ain't listening to my show, man. Trapped in visual space. This is a critic, you know. Hey, Donna, we know you're listening. I'm monitoring your reviews from now on in. RCP lawsuit gets finished. You're next, Donna, baby. I own the English language, you know.
Okay.
I not only mobilize it, I own it.
Let's get back on track. Bob.
Yeah, so we're talking about how television, as cliche art form, reaches the lowest common denominator by 1980. The people, their sensibilities recognize it. They make President Reagan.
And then 1986 comes along.
By 1986, every process is, when pushed to extreme, flips. So naturally, we would flip into the computer retrieval. In other words, computer is technological art form. In the 70s, becomes cliche art form, lowest common denominator by 86, 87. So that means that we go from the charismatic TV image of Reagan into a computer image. That is the president for 1988 to 1992. Now, the computer world is a two-bit world, two-bit wit world. You know, the binary digital system of the computer. It's not analog, is it? It's digital. Made up of two dots, you interplay them. That's the two-bit wit. That's the basic technological content control in a computer. Therefore, we had a two-bit wit election. Therefore, two post-TV charisma, computer charisma, the charisma of computer two-bit wit is bland, real bland, right? Not Reagan kind of bland, bureaucratic secret government intelligence agency bland, George Bush and Michael Dukakis.
Right.
All right? Now, of course, they really didn't have much to say about because they work on an international and a solar government level. So they found it hard to even, you know, remember what country they were in, let alone remember what time Pearl Harbor happened, right? So that's why Bush was making a lot of errors, because he's so used to studying computer programs, he's not used to reading words, you know, English language. So, and Dukakis is used to intelligence agency intrigue, so he was rather bland in computing, in being a rhetorician on the television. So you had, this was rigged, the computer world is programmed. So this being a programmed election, a non-election, I mean, Reagan was the last election, the last gasp of an image. In the post-TV age, the computer world, we have no image. We just have information control, a programmed environment. That's the true meaning of ecology, a programmed environment. Under solar government conditions, the whole planet is programmed. All the mixed corporate media program. So I think people can understand, especially the pinks can understand how I'm communicating about the blandness of the election. But how do you explain the violence, the mudslinging? That's because under Reagan, we reached the point where elections were showbiz. Under computer conditions, the people go further than recognize it as showbiz. They recognize this is fake wrestling. Right? This is medieval mudslinging, what they called slanging. In other words, we know the election does not exist, therefore let's really make a sport out of it. And of course, the journalists, the representatives of visual space, the old way back previous archetypal environment, they are quite outraged by this disrespect for visual conditions of bureaucratic control, which they're totally embedded in. And when do I have to finish that sentence? I'm just being slow just to give people the time to think.
So that we know. This is so long we had dead air, and I know it's good to have dead air, but I forget that, and I'm sorry.
So the visual space guys are embedded in bureaucratic control, so they... George is doing a drum solo with his head to fill in the missing interval. They are so embedded in that bureaucratic control, they can't see the real ground that's going on. So what we have today is a computerized election on the lowest common denominator level. And also, since it's a programmed, computerized ecological situation... you can't really have much change. The electric world under global theater conditions becomes Egyptian dynasty-like. So that's what they mean when Reagan gets a third term. He got his third term through Bush, who said he'd continue the Reagan mandate, because he knew he could not be that image, but he could continue that eternal TV phenomenon. TV remains a main matrix for our situation. But now, the clue to the fact this was a computerized, programmed election... on the lowest common denominator level, where it is cliche, that so therefore the dynamics are revealed. Everybody knew Reagan was a TV president. What is the indication of a computerized election? Well, a computer virus the week before comes running through the system, and you know that the elections have been computer rigged since 1960 when Kennedy pulled off those extra votes from Nixon in Chicago in 1960. They've been in key areas... computerized frauds ever since then. But now, when something becomes cliche art form, it is totally out in the open. And so the rigging of the computers was revealed to everybody a week before. Some group came in, wiped out the previous rigor, wrestling teams, conditioning of the computers to side them, to force them to respond, and who knows what went on in the week after the computer virus when the repairman came in. They either juggled it back the way it was, or the new repairman put it in to set it for Bush. Who knows, right? The point is, Bush won. The computer virus played a big factor during the election the week before. And that was right in front of us. Mm-hmm. All right? So we've got bland computer images, computer government, on a cliche art form level. But notice on my chart that this is all inside the real ground of satellite and 22nd coming conditions, right? Now, that's the soul of government. That's the Secret Council of 10. That's me. That's why I say there are no real elections on the high level, on the constitutive level, the level where the matrix of matter is organized. That's what I organize. That's what I create. That's what I control. All right? So with that in mind, I think I've made all the points about... the fact, if you look at this chart in the perfect pitch, page 147 of High Weirdness by Mail, you can see how we're at the computer cliche phase inside the hidden ground of satellite and Bob conditions, sometimes known as furry lint. Mm-hmm. All right, just highbrow art form. Okay, your turn.
What happened to Gary Hart in the end? I was watching closely. I followed the news. The postscripts and so on. I didn't see Gary's name mentioned. Any word on Gary Hart?
Well, did you know that he walked out of the Democratic Convention in the summer?
Yeah.
He would not have any part of it. Yeah. In other words, he was programmed to operate on a certain level, and even though he was caught out, at first base, he still was programmed to act out and come to the convention and win some kind of open mandate at the election. I forget the term where they suddenly say, open vote, let's nominate new guys because they're bored with who's been nominated. He was programmed to receive that situation, and it didn't happen, so he's been in a state of confusion, and that's why he's subscribing to people who tape my show, and he's being briefed now on how this came about. He did not know the rapid changes that were sped up as a result of me winning the Secret Council of 10 election. So Gary just acted out a program situation, which I had to say was in operation a year ago, just so that certain other factors couldn't be revealed to upset my conditioning. And note, while this election was going on in the United States, I was in the country.
Yeah, we made note of that while you were away, actually.
That meant something. Now, about the new election?
No, not about the new election. Yeah, one other question. Just thinking about this computer environment.
Yeah. As cliche, because we're in the satellite solar government situation.
What do you call it, computer cliche?
Yeah. Computer cliche environment.
I was watching PBS the other night, and they had this very interesting evaluation of the treatment of the election from the press point of view, how the press deal with coverage on a daily basis, and how they get things prepared for the evening news. And they referred to the term, I think it was just media bite.
A sound bite?
A sound bite, sorry. Which is something I hadn't heard before, but I guess apparently it's been around for some time.
Well, they mean sound bit, two-bit wit.
But also the term, you know, bite from
computer
technology.
Yeah, but it means sound bit from two-bit wit. You get your 30 seconds, it's a two-bit analysis.
But it was a fascinating look at how, you know, things are so contrived and set up, you know, okay, Mr. Bush will say a few things here, a few things there, and they choose their bites for the evening
For the
news.
Computer, for the evening computerized news, mm-hmm. the program news, the preference for a colossal mandate. Another thing about the computer virus and the rigging of the elections, that came out a week before the election. CBS did a special on the possibility of computer election fraud.
Oh, really?
They made it an issue a week before the election happened. So you know that it was allowed to appear on general media in the general cliche programmed environment before the election. So it's now obvious. And what isn't obvious is my control.
Well, speaking of your control, let's turn very briefly, because it bores me quickly, to the Canadian election and Canadian politicians. We really haven't talked about it. Now, you're not running, of course.
No.
But
the Rhinoceros Party wanted me, but I was away doing important things.
What if someone chooses to spoil a ballot and vote for you? What sort of platforms have you taken in this election? Or have you taken any? Or does it concern you whatsoever?
Well, I operate out of the Cosmosphere platforms. You know, the orbiting platforms that Dr. Beter talked about, the solar government spheres. They're sometimes seen and interpreted as UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
But those Cosmosphere floating platforms is the platform I'm operating from and the one that I will keep in operation. So if you vote for Bob, you're voting for the Cosmosphere platforms.
Okay. What's Bob's view on free trade? I guess that's the big question.
Free trade.
It's comes up.
Yeah, you see, free trade is impossible under computerized corporate mixed media conditions, so I just have to decide what level to fake a response on.
Well, any level, you'll bluff everyone anyway, so...
So I would say I'm for free trade.
Good. Okay. Any other comments on the Canadian election?
I think we can note this, is that I think the reason the public suddenly got an idea that Turner might be a suitable choice to Mulroney is that the Canadians suddenly realize that the head of the secret police in the United States was going to be president about the third week in October, right? And it suddenly struck the Canadians, my God, that man is going to be president of the United States. Maybe we should back off, because we're a little nervous about getting involved in the solar government levels. We like to think of ourselves as a country. We're like the Russians. We want to have that 19th century reality. We want to have a culture, a literature, a film business, a record business. We want to have all those things, you know, the Margaret Atwoods, the Triumphs, all those groups, all the culture that we have, you know, The Robert Fulford gang, you know. I mean, can you imagine that Robert Fulford putting out a book, Memoirs of a Lucky Man? Oh, my God. If I've ever seen a harassed bureaucrat, there's one. And Bob Marshall used to address him and Mulroney, right, on Saturday morning.
Did you see him on his own show being interviewed by Richard Gwynn? That was the ultimate in, I don't know what, glorification.
Well, that shows you there are 40 people running the
playing
world.
This whole role of, you know, right. being the guest on his own show and talking about himself.
Well, there were 40 people running the world under Captain Beefheart conditions, so that means there are about 2.5 people running Canada, right? And Fulford is 1.5 of them, because I don't think Richard Gwynn can be a whole person, right? So he does half.
He's on a good day.
So Robert Fulford and that Saturday Night Gang, and Conrad Black, he's hijacked Canada to put it over the cultural...
Right.
Yeah, they sent it back to the Queen and Prince Charles.
I love talking about that, Reichland.
We'll be reading Prince Charles novels in about 10 years.
Yeah, he's 40 now, you know, and depressed. He's still not the king, you know, and Liz is still going strong, and his marriage is falling apart.
Liz? Guy.
His mother.
Oh, Liz. Mother. Liz Taylor. Okay, yeah. Lizard Lounge.
Why don't we play a little Church of the Sun Venus?
No,
we're losing focus, Bob.
Well, no, we're not. I didn't. Yeah. Look, I'm all for free trade. I'm also against it. But I am for free. But trade merchant stuff, I'm not it for. You know, I don't get involved in trade, but I am for free. Remember the band called Free, you know, 20 years ago? Lester Bangs and those boys used to rave about them, Richard Meltzer. I mean, I know all this stuff. I was behind those magazines, you know, behind the EBO, the Cream.
So you're for the band, you're for the band Free.
Yeah, and I'm for banning trade
because
it's impossible under computerized conditions. And I think the reason the population, just to wrap up that point there, the population was frightened. It finally sunk in that Bush was going to be president. They finally had to pay attention to the American media. So they said, well, okay, let's hold back. Turner goes on, put him up as a possible candidate. He's prime minister for 2 weeks about his polls are going down because of the economic warfare and because we have to put Mulroney in to rub it in the Canadians' faces that he ain't the prime minister. I mean, when they have him for another 4 years, they're going to realize this guy is not our prime minister, right? And that's really frees up the tetrad of trade, that four-part juggling act called extension, obsolescing, retrieval, and flipping. Check out the new book, The Laws of the Media, by Marshall McLuhan and his son Eric McLuhan, The New Science. That's coming out of Britain.
That's being run in the Toronto Sun, actually, for a week or so. So watch about that. Am I wrong on that?
You're absolutely correct, Mike. Let's go to Reverend Stang.
Oh, you may as well. Let's just bring it all back to zero. We are doing this semi-regular installment of The Church of the Subgenius with your co-host, Dare Bob Dobbs. I am your dupe host, Michael Dyer. We're here until 2 o'clock this morning.
And we'll be back for a little more questions. And bring in those phone calls, man.
You want phone calls?
Oh, yeah. We want questions.
We'll take calls.
This is good stuff.
Get the financing to be able to continue the work, building the lanes up there.
Yeah, more than that.
Up in Ranch up in Oklahoma.
And any of that extra plutonium that you happen to have, get in the mail or in a special package, just send it onto the Miracle Ministry in the Fort Worth Millionaire Room.
Right.
Take care of that.
I don't need your money. I just need your vote.
You've got the robot in the car. We've got the control panel here. We'll take it along and let the robot do the fighting for us. Then we'll have to wait before we find out what this is all about. Not entirely. The papers we found in Harding's laboratory explain why they're building the hydrogen bomb. Its explosion was intended to deflect the rotation of the Earth enough to send it out of its orbit and spin it off into space. Those zombies must have been as crazy as they looked. It may sound ridiculous, but it's theoretically possible.
It's certainly lucky you managed to stop them in time.
Yeah, we're safe now, for the time being. But there are undoubtedly more of those power mad creatures loose on other planets. So it'll take constant vigilance on our part to ensure the safety of this world.
If the people do not cease to offend him, another and worse war will break out. When you see a knife with a strange light in the sky, you will know it is a sign that the world is about to be punished for its crime. In Russia, there is an evil scheme to destroy the peace of the earth. To prevent this, I ask that you be consecrated to the Virgin Mary.
My lady, these people can't see you or hear you as we do. Many of them don't believe you appear to us.
In October, I will give them a sign that will make them believe.
You have said the Mother of God predicts another great war, and still more wars.
I know what she told me.
You see what nonsense this is. But you have said that the lady promised to show the people a sign.
You see,
there will be a multitude at the cova tomorrow. There are thousands there now, without shelter from the rain. If there is a miracle, they'll know there's hope for the world, and they'll give thanks on their knees.
The lady will keep her word.
But if it should fail, if that great crowd has cause to feel that you've lied, it will become an angry mob. And then, God help you all.
Why should the Blessed Virgin choose a day like this to appear on earth?
Where's the miracle that was promised? They said there'd be a sign from heaven.
This is a sign, the flood of rain.
Oh, rain. Our lady was there. I didn't see it, but I know it.
Oh, three crazy children.
She was eating. The sign. Show us the sign.
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you leave them alone? They're only children.
Dear lady, what do you want?
I want to tell you that the war is going to end soon, and the soldiers will return to their homes. Do not fear. In the end, God will triumph.
You said you'd tell us who you are.
I am the Lady of the Rosary.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary.
Where's our lady? We haven't seen her.
A child's walking through the open air.
We saw nothing, heard nothing.
This plot has become a tragedy. Well, I can't say we didn't try to stop it.
We've been seen. We've been lied to.
Oh, body parts of the children.
Holy Mother, you promised to give us a miracle so the people will believe us.
A million people from all over the world gathered here to do homage to Our Lady of Fatima.
Therefore, there is a God.
I was going in to see some
end of quote.
I said, you're going to have to get yourself in discernment here and be able to discern the spirit of God from the spirit of Hinduism. I said, people in Haiti, I said, when the Holy Ghost hits them, they think it's food.
Overworked. Theosophy.
Well, Bob, here we are. That was a good tape, actually. Not a bad tape for the trip to the Subgenius. We're listening to one of the tapes from Dallas, Texas.
Good tape. Nice tape. Useful, resourceful, full of intonations and perfect pitches. Right?
Just intonations, yeah. Sounded good. Sounded good.
I want to tell you something. Well, I have a little story. True story. How does this go? A friend of mine was walking down Queen Street. She had a big Great Dane. She was walking this huge dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this car right in front of her, all of a sudden the window rolls down and someone throws out a whole bunch of hamburger hot dog garbage onto the street right in front of her. So she, being a real sub-genius, said, this should not happen. This should be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. Or at least these pinks should take responsibility for, you know, polluting the local environment. So she picks up the garbage that had been thrown out, walks over to the guy's car. His window was down, throws it into his lap, all right? Throws the whole bunch of garbage into the passenger's lap. There's another guy at the driver's wheel. This would probably cause a little anger in the pink, eh? All this mm-hmm. hamburger residue back in his lap. Instant karma. So he immediately gets worked up, slams open the door. It's not a paradox to slam open the door. You know, he makes a lot of noise as he's opening the door, and he goes to leap out at the person who did this. All of a sudden, there's this great big Great Dane leaning into the car window. Because the Great Dane smells the hamburger stuff. So what does this guy do? He turns to his buddy and says, step on it! Hence, our subgenius friend was able to make a statement and get away with it.
Of course.
Because she had the environment of the dog, the extension of herself. And this guy had another extension of himself, the car, which he was able to use to get away from to escape any further repercussions of the karmic act of polluting the street. Right?
True.
Mike's on the phone again, so we'll take questions, Kent. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm off the phone. It's okay.
Okay. Any questions?
Just, yeah, a few questions. The people are going to call back, so.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Not on air.
Let's not do it on air today.
All right. Okay, Kent. Kent's got a question.
Yeah. Let's go to our audience. Yes, you, sir, over there in the white shirt.
Again?
Small audience tonight.
Yeah, you weren't here last week.
No.
No. The week before,
we had,
though.
We had Pent Carey in last week.
Yes.
Pent up, wary. What's the question?
Oh, okay. What I would like to know is the George Bush, now that he's being elected president of the United States, will the Iran-Contra scandal fly back in his face, seeing as he was the one that was mainly responsible for it?
He was responsible for it in the sense that he was working for the Rockefeller faction that triggered the Iran-Contra, set it up with Rockefeller operatives who had been kicked out of the American government, American military bureaucracy in the early 80s, all right? That was totally staged. North and them were working for the Rockefellers. If you remember, Ollie North was standing on the edge of the desert when they had that April 1980 screwed up hostage rescue attempt. Remember the helicopters got in trouble? He was not part of it. That was the Bolshevik-controlled Pentagon running that. He was a Rockefeller guy off on the side watching it. That whole Ollie North secret government was not really the secret government. They were the secret government in the 60s and early 70s. But the Bolsheviks have taken over the Pentagon. So the Rockefeller cartel set up this phony Iran-Contragate thing. That's why Eugene Hassifuss and these key people said that this was George Bush's baby. But you never could get George Bush to be pilloried and made guilty for it, because the whole thing was staged on a domestic control point, which the Rockefellers can do. They can control the local media. They can control local politics. And they can't control the Pentagon, but they can control the United States scene. So they could hog the media and make sure that Bush did not get targeted for being the creator of it, but they could make the Bolshevik guys like Caspar Weinberger, William Casey, who was an independent but was forced to work for the Bolshevik Pentagon, and the Ronald Reagan image itself was all smeared, and that smeared the militaristic movement of the Pentagon. And that whole image smear was orchestrated in harmony with the Russian-Rockefeller alliance, where the Russians were making headway in peace talks and summit talks with the Rockefeller-controlled Reagan double. All right?
Right.
So that's why all the Contragate guys will get off, because it's a domestic operation. The real importance of Contragate was it was a top-down bureaucratic control level form of flipping the Reagan image into the computerized image of George Bush and Michael Dukakis, which I mentioned earlier before the tape. That, see, the computerized flip I talked about earlier is the bottom-up form of reality manifestation. The top-down form of reality manifestation, the bureaucratic control battle, was expressed by the smearing of the Reagan image. All right? The Reagan image was doomed to flip on a bottom-up level anyways. So George Bush will not suffer any consequences ultimately from the Contragate. There will be releasing of information, implication about him in media, and it will be used by the Pentagon power source as much as possible. But the Pentagon Bolsheviks have lost pretty well all drive to create a real military global conflict. Peace is at hand, but I'm in control of the Secret Council 10. So Bush will carry a calm presidency on that level. They'll never, I mean, talk about a Teflon president. There is nobody in the White House, in the sense George Bush could be in the White House, the way Reagan was. Bush will not even be there to have something rub off him. You know what I mean? He's too busy managing the setting up of the solar government, the increasing of the American space program in harmony with the Russians. The Bolsheviks will be having little tantrums in the Pentagon, but will have decreasing effect. And the only real problem, now that the Rockefellers have kind of got control of the domestic operation, is the financial problem. which is the Rockefeller's bag, you know, the debt and that they created. They've got to manage that, and if I will probably make sure that certain effects of that will harm Bush, but only in hidden directions that will help me consolidate control. All right? So don't look forward to much effects from any revelations that come out of the press, mainstream, left, right, or center. Anything comes out, I mean, you might as well not listen to word of mouth anymore, or you know, here at the station. There's no point listening to news anymore. Don't worry. The real control is really happening so that you, people who volunteer for news organizations, have got slack coming to you. You know, you really do have slack. Just don't do so hard on your work, you know. Take time off. We do not need news anymore. The news is Bob. All right?
Okay.
So I think I felt there was some other point there, just drifting along there. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say, oh, one thing to note for Bush in the free trade situation is that this should be considered by those who actually get out and vote next week. Now, this is the thing. Unlike the situation in the United States, Canadian banking is so highly centralized that five major banks hold almost all of the country's banking assets. As a result, these five Canadian banks are as powerful as the largest banks in the United States. So, for example, the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce has the same official assets as Chase Manhattan Bank, $75 billion U.S. However, this is only part of the story. Canadian bankers, unlike their U.S. cousins, did not bankrupt themselves through David Rockefeller's third world debt bubble. That's Bush's problem that's coming up. More importantly, Canadian banking is far more involved in the international pink trade than even New York or Boston financial circles. For such reasons, all the major hot money centers in the Western Hemisphere are based on former British colonies in the Caribbean, colonies now overseen by Canada. The Cayman Islands and the Bahamas are only two of the more notorious pink money centers whose banking laws were written by Canadian bankers. There are other processes afoot which will increase the relative power of Canadian banking. By 1997, Hong Kong will formally revert to Chinese control. In preparation for that development, many of Hong Kong's powerful pink center banking interests are shifting their bases of international operations. The Canadian cities of Vancouver and Toronto are being built up as two of the new centers of Hong Kong finance. Canadian bankers and diplomats are already licking their chops. Note this for the free trade problem or free trade debate. Canadian bankers and diplomats are already licking their chops over their projected U.S. victims. One Canadian government figure recently gloated that U.S. banking is up for grabs. There is no possibility that any U.S. bank would have the ability to take over even one of Canada's banks, he chuckled. There is a second dangerous feature of the trade, the Free Trade Act, pertaining to pink activities. Under the terms of the act, any individual who belongs to one of 200 specified occupation categories can move without any visa or labor department or ministry requirement to the other country indefinitely. Canada is currently one of the easiest countries in the world to enter. An immigrant to Canada can get citizenship in a mere 3 years. Emigres from Eastern Europe and many other areas automatically get refugee status and typically subsequent citizenship. Thus, the vulnerability of the United States to new pink rings, espionage, and pink activities via Canada will soon be dramatically increased. Now, that is the Rothschild basis through the Reichmans that will be set up in their pink motives and move in and take over the Rockefeller interests. So George Bush is holding the fort while Canada rises to an extreme importance globally in the financial world. Now the pinks and the even subgeniuses in Canada will suffer inside Canada, but this is all a front to move Toronto into a premier important position, which will, of course, leads to my going public and announcing my ecological programming of media ecology. Right?
We're going to have to cut it short. Like, we have another question in the audience. Let's take the mic over.
It's not actually a question. Just
go ahead,
our meters are showing that our Canadian economy...
Could you speak up, sir?
The meters are showing that we're dipping critically
low levels of
Canadian content here. There's been an awful lot of discussion of the American environment. and
the American environment.
Unless we switch to some of this cassette art from local content very soon, I think the CRTC will be pulling the big plug on this operation.
No. Yeah,
it was pointed out to us actually, George, and I didn't know this, that we had a meeting with our lawyer last week, and apparently we're not allowed to use the F word anymore, and we don't have to play any Canadian content after midnight.
I see.
I don't know. Not to say, of course, that we shouldn't, of course, play Canadian content.
But we don't have to. We don't have to worry about the CRTC.
No, it's a very valid point. I'm sitting here listening, and I'm concerned. I try to bring it back to the Canadian level.
Do you count words as we go?
I have a secretary who counts.
Very good. Keep those word counts coming.
Yeah. But this is a question from, obviously, a Canadian.
Yeah.
He's concerned about Canadian content. He is one of the people who's going to suffer, you know, in the Canadian pink prison over the next while, as long as he identifies with being a Canadian.
Okay.
I identify with suffering.
Audience member, I hope that answers your question.
You're a nationalist.
A label, Bob.
Do you listen to the Word of Mouth news service on CKLN?
Word of Mouth?
Yeah, news service. It's on Sunday.
I listen to the Talking Mouths here, but not Word of Mouth, no.
No, do you listen to news on CKLN?
No.
Okay. Then you have a chance. You do have a chance.
Are we being shut down here?
Yeah, let's wrap things up, Bob. Let's see if anything else to say. I think I'd like to move on, and we have a little bit of music to play.
Well, don't forget to... remember, the mudslinging is medieval slanging. The old contests, you know, verbal battles. Verbal and universe, archetypal status. The future is not now, it is the past. The future is all the past, and it's all happening now. And don't forget, Bob is grinning.
From ear to ear.
Remember that album, 1968, The Grin Heard Round the World? That was Bob.
What about the album Bobby's Grinning? Is that
Bobby's Grinning?
Bobby's Grinning.
That was put up by the McCoys?
Yeah. Yeah. We're taking some phone calls when we go off the air.
Anybody who doesn't want their question discussed over the air is welcome to call after.
And we do normally take calls over the air. We just weren't prepared for it tonight. Perhaps in 2 weeks we'll do that again. We'll do one show. What about that? What about in 2 weeks we do that? We just open the lines and let the calls flood in.
Yeah, for indefinitely?
Yeah, work for half an hour. See
how just happens. Half an hour? Okay. Yeah, we'll open the line.
We'll push your luck, buddy.
Are you working tomorrow, Mike?
Yeah, tomorrow morning. Good. 7 o'clock.
I mean, you're out of here by 2, right?
You.
Okay, I just want to tell people that Kent is an ally of the church and Bob may be back later.
Oh, yeah. No,
we just don't need to depend on Mike anymore.
It's a different, but it's a different environment. We're both different people, so it's a different Bob.
Yeah.
In different atmosphere. Bob.
It's a mellow Bob.
And you are listening to Bob, and my name is Michael Dyer, and the Church of the Subunits will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to go out with some music.
Some music, and thanks to our viewing audience tonight for inputting. And we'll be right back. The phone's ringing already.
Praise
595147.
Praise
Bob.
Hey, what a packet in the White House. Don't look the way I do. You know what I mean? The rights of certain people disappear. Mysteriously. We'll be right back.
Thank you.